Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is just about 309 here, 60 degrees, nice and warm outside for what we've been dealing with lately on this Monday, April 14th, 2025. How's everybody doing today? Well, we have our local heroes in the house with us today, Lackawanna SWAT team members. So we have Chief Guy Salerno from the Blakely Police Department. We have Deputy Sheriff Colin Quinn from the Lackawanna County Sheriff's Office. Thank you for joining us, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I know how hard and it is schedule-wise to get you guys in, so I'm really glad you can make it because you guys have a really great event coming up. I saw it. You know, we'll talk about the tumblers and the mugs in a minute, but you guys have a great fundraiser coming up. First of all, tell us about what you guys do as the Lackawanna County SWAT team. Not a lot of people know that Lackawanna County even has a SWAT team. Thankfully, thankfully for that, but we do indeed.
Yes. Yeah, so the Lackawanna County SWAT team is not just from one entity. So we are a countywide, from all municipalities, the sheriff's office, county district attorney's office. That's what makes up the members of the SWAT team. And at the end of the day, it's not tied to just the Lackawanna County government or any particular municipality. So we all come together from our different municipalities in the sheriff's office to form the SWAT team, which answers to the Lackawanna County Chiefs of Police Association. So that's how this team it comes about. And we've been in service for nearly 30 years. So we volunteer from our own agencies to be on this team. So next question is probably, how do you get money to run a team like that? Well, we do get a stipend from the county to help us purchase equipment. Most of it comes from us doing fundraisers through our association, and we do other things, write grants, things of that nature, so we can actually do our job as a SWAT team.
One of the good things in my experience in my three decades in law enforcement is dealing with county teams or joint regional teams, task force teams, such like that, is that what you just talked about, coming from all different areas of the county, different police departments, different sheriff's departments, the district attorney, because you all bring a different skill set. I mean, the district attorneys bring into a certain skill set to these tables just in case you need search warrants on the spot or something changes and there's another house that's connected to a house, but maybe a search warrant's not there. You have that avenue there. Sheriff's department, same thing. You're a canine handler. Sheriff's Department has that. Some of our departments have them too. But to work a long time alongside and train with the tactical team, is a special skill set in itself. So that's a great asset.
Absolutely.
So if you go, say, get a call in Blakely, where you are, I mean, you're getting guys from other county. You have that local knowledge of right there. You've trained together. You work together. It's that flow of not missing a step if there's an incident, if there's something in Jessup or German or Scranton. You guys work Scranton as part of your team as well. Work with them. That seamlessness is great on a countywide, especially when you have – I mean, I don't know how many departments Lackawanna County has now, but quite a few.
23 police departments or 23 departments, law enforcement agencies throughout the county. Most of which obviously the team is utilized by all the municipalities in the county. City of Scranton has their own team that we actually dual dispatch with. So they have separate training days than we do. They have they're a separate entity altogether. However, it's just the nature of the beast. Both units get called out for calls, just in case guys have to be relieved. if you don't get the amount, because you never know. It's not like we're on duty as a SWAT team all the time. If you might be out with your family on vacation, well, nobody really knows that. It's not like coming from one agency that, oh, we know who's on vacation when. So when that call goes out and we receive the alert through our app, then you see who's available to respond. And again, you're talking, you don't know. You're talking about 25 guys, 20 that are operators, 5 guys that are negotiators. You never know who you're going to get. So we work steadily with the Scranton SOG team, and they're the same way. So we get there, we work together seamlessly. When we do get together, we just had a really big training last week. Half of their members were there. Most of us were there. So when we worked together, it was like, it was like we work for the same department. And that's even the members of the Lackawanna County team. One guy could come from Moosic. One guy's coming from my department, Blakely. One guy's coming from up in Carbondale or somewhere else. Once we get together, because we train the same way all the time, we just seamlessly meld together to get the job done, which is outstanding.
And when you guys respond to these calls, you know, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 70 hours. That rotation that you could put people in to say, all right, you know, we have enough guys here now. You guys, you know, we'll call you if you come back in 10 hours from now and start relieving some guys. So that's a great asset to have, and it's good to see that we utilize that. Do most counties in Northeast Pennsylvania have their own SWAT team or tactical teams?
No. I know Luzerne County is trying to get one off the ground. I know some of their members of different police departments have gone to training. I know they've purchased some equipment, but whether they're actually ready to go, I don't know. I know Lackawanna does, but the rest of the counties in Northeast Pennsylvania, Monroe County has one out of Pocono Mountain Regional Police. Other than that, I believe those other counties rely on the Pennsylvania State Police for their assets.
Which, again, great teams. I've been with them. I've seen them train, but time-wise, you know, the further you have to pull somebody from here, those times, those minutes, those seconds matter. So it's great having our local team. So you have this bingo, purse bingo at the Circle Drive-In, Saturday, May 17th. Tell us a little bit about that.
Purse bingo is a huge benefit for us. We usually sell somewhere between 500 and 600 tickets. I think we did 500 this year. But the money from that, like Guy was saying, is huge for us, because that pays for equipment that we would otherwise have to pay out of pocket for, or trainings like we just had this past week. We had a scenario-based tactical operations course that we took a part in, like an advanced SWAT class. And so some of the funds from that purse bingo, which we raised last year, we utilized to help pay for members to go to this class.
So advanced training, you know, increase your skill set, learn from other Absolutely. Teams that do the same thing as you, maybe not have the same scenario, and it rings a couple of bells for you guys to say, hey, you know, maybe we should sharpen up on this when you get back
Absolutely.
Home with
keep
your own teams.
Keep us on our toes and, you know, keep us sharp.
As far as, you know, and I encourage as many people, I've shared this on my page. I know you guys have shared it on your local department pages, and the Lackawanna County SWAT team has their own page on social media. I shared the big old purse. As far as any needs now, like your canine handler, you have your dog. What's your dog's name?
Arlo.
Arlo. Does he have a ballistic vest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
As far as the team goes now, are there any, not huge ticket items, but things you're looking for to purchase that maybe a business in Lackawanna County can say, hey, we'll sponsor that?
Well, right now we have a big hurdle. I mean, we had written a grant through the local shares, and we actually had to go through all of Pennsylvania, but we have a brand new Bearcat, which was $330,000, that is going to be delivered within the next year. And thankfully, you know, our Senator Brown and my local Representative Mullins and Senator Flynn from Scranton, they all helped us get that money to get that vehicle. So the one we have now is aging. It's a 2006. And that was given to us by the federal government through the Terrorism Task Force. Well, that money is no longer there. That is dried up, and now that money is from the Terrorism Task Force just used for training. We don't get equipment anymore. So to fund something like that, to get that through a grant, I mean, thank God, because going to these types of incidents, let's face it, when is a SWAT team utilized? When the regular police need help.
Yeah.
So you
when the police need 911, you guys are the cops out there 911.
Yeah. So when you show up to those types of incidents, you need some armor. You need armor because usually it's not a good situation going in, and you got to make sure that the team members are protected going up to that scene. And that's so we were able to get that through this grant money, and that will be delivered next year. So then we'll have an old one and a new one.
Which is a lot of times I've seen multiple use. It seems I know you guys have as well, and thankfully we have them. And it's funny because every time you see a situation nationally or somewhere where they said, oh, the military is the police, we don't need this, you know, you'll see one of these Bearcats with 8 or 9 bullet holes in the front of it, you know, where yeah, they actually do. I mean, here in our own area, you guys were just telling me in the green room here, you know, how much it's stepped up. I mean, you look at the weapons they're taking out of places like the city of Scranton and the places around you, the gang activity. Mm-hmm. Listen, we hope it doesn't happen, but you need to be prepared for it. And that's what you guys are there for, to be prepared for it. You guys also have tumblers. You know, I saw two of them. And I was like, hey, get me one of these things. They're great. They're the to explain it, the Yeti makeshift. They're not Yeti, but they're that style.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Tumblers.
Yes.
They have both the small coffee ones or the bigger, you know, 32-ounce type ones. Where can people get that? Because that also supports you guys. You're selling these as a fundraiser.
Yes. Actually, they can be purchased from the Blakely Police Station. They can come up to the Blakely Police Headquarters in Peckville, right on Main Street. They can stop by there. They're for sale there. We will also have them at the Purse Bingo. Just take a look at our social media page. Give us a contact. We'll meet you at one of the place locations and get them to you. We also do T-shirts, which we're getting new ones made for this year. And usually we bring those to all the night outs we participate in, so people know that we're out there, that there is a SWAT team in Lackawanna County, that we are there to help. And we bring T-shirts to raise money for our training, yeah. Just like we sell T-shirts, we do the Purse Bingo. And that's all our benevolent association. Like I said, we're not tied to one municipality or one government agency. Lackawanna County does provide us a budget that really covers. I mean, if you think about it, we qualify at least 4 times a year on our primary and secondary weapon systems, on our less lethals. All that costs money, and we eat up. I mean, anybody who does use a firearm knows how much ammo costs. So you imagine 20 guys out there qualifying rifles and handguns 4 times a year, plus specialty weapons. That money goes fast.
It does. And if something, you know, as you're running through these things, I've run through these things. This wasn't right. Let's do it again. Let's run it again. No, let's stop it here. You know, we have to do this different here. Let's run it again. Let's run it again until it's perfect, because it can never be perfect, but you want to get as close to it as you can. Because somebody's life, even a victim's life, a suspect's life, or one of your guys' lives, you depend on that.
Absolutely. Even some of the other training, we just went through our own Stop the Bleed with our team medic, went through that. No, thank God we have somebody like that on our team to be able to teach us that. But if not, that's something else we would have to pay for. Or if he's busy and we need that for our training, we're going to have to pay for that. And it's sometimes it just comes out of our association money. It doesn't come from the county because we need to reserve that money for, like I said, just our ammo bill alone a year is crazy.
Yeah. Now, as far as drones, air assets, anything like that, are you guys in that direction or not yet? Drone operators, you don't want to give anything that, you know, you don't want anybody to not know, but you've seen this used more and more.
Yes, we actually do have one. We're looking to get a second one that actually goes inside. 2 years ago, we received a grant and purchased a robot for $80,000. So we do have that technology. So we're not putting lives on the line immediately if we don't have to. Use technology until you can't use technology.
And one of the reasons for these fundraisers and the great thing you do is, okay, a grant may have gotten that drone, may have gotten that robot, but you know, your guys, the operator for that, sees a training somewhere in Connecticut and says, hey, this is a really good training. You know, you have to facilitate that. And a lot of times you guys are doing that on your own because you want to be better operators. You want to be better public servants. And to eat that, you can only do it so much. Especially on the salaries here in Northeast Pennsylvania. Not to bring that into the mix, but it is a factor, and that's why these fundraisers are important.
Absolutely. And sometimes we do, like I know we just did a week-long training. We're looking at doing another training in the fall. I happen to be a breacher on the team, so I have to go to a 12-day school in the fall that I'm going out to New Jersey for. Like that class alone is $6,000.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
If any anybody in the community, if any business in the community in Lackawanna County want to help in some way, where can they go just say, hey, I want to help. I don't know how. You know, I have these resources, maybe this place to train in, you know, maybe a grant, you know, maybe a donation. How can they reach out to you guys to facilitate that from happening?
They can contact me at the Blakely Police Headquarters through our social media page. I'll gladly talk to them. I'm the vice president of the Lackawanna County Chiefs of Police Benevolent Association. So we are a registered nonprofit organization. So we can accept any kind of donations that you want to make. And if anybody has a building or house or something that's going to be torn down, or they know that they're getting rid of it because they're going to build something, by all means, please reach out to us on the Lackawanna County SWAT team social media page. Let us know. We would love to be able to use new buildings. When you get used to the format of the same buildings that you're using all the time, I mean, we're getting training, but how much training are we getting? It's better to have a surprise layout, because obviously every call we go out is a surprise layout. So if anybody has a building or something that we can use, love to hear from you.
All right. And again, their Purse Bingo is on Saturday, May 17th, 2025 at the Circle Drive-In. Can they get tickets in advance? Did you show up? Can they do both?
We do have tickets. Usually it's minimal sold at the door because we do sell a lot of pre-sales. So if you notice on our social media page, you can see they're available at the Dunmore Police Headquarters, Blakely Police, Sheriff's Office, Lackawanna County DA's Office. We will have them for sale up until that point, and whatever we have left over from pre-sale will be sold at the door.
All right, so we have about a month before this event. We're going to talk about it here more and more to help you guys have a successful event here. This is your big fundraiser of the year, right?
Yeah, huge. This is the fundraiser that brings all the money in for our trainings and equipment and stuff like that. And even we have a basket raffle. So a lot of businesses, you know, if they're looking to help or anything like that, if someone wants to make a basket, we have a lot of people that have helped us in the years prior for other bingos, and they'll just drop a basket off at one of the agencies to kind of help with our basket raffle. And we usually get about 120 to 150 baskets.
Great. A lot of businesses in Lackawanna County, a lot of business owners in Lackawanna County, a lot of homeowners, a lot of people who live here who truly support law enforcement and what they do. Because you never know when you're going to need them. You never know we're going to need you guys or the local police when they're going to need you, and coming from all aspects of the area. And you want the best trained, best equipped tactical team you can have when they get there. So I appreciate you guys coming in. Again, we have Chief Guy Salerno of Blakely Police Department and Deputy Sheriff Colin Quinnan, canine handler. Love those guys from the Sheriff's Office. So thanks for coming in, guys. And we're going to talk about this up until the event.
Thank you so much, Robin. Thanks for having us.
All right. It's 324 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Great start to the show. Love when we have the guys in here. Guys and girls, but we just had the guys in today. But if you could support your local law enforcement, especially our SWAT teams, by all means, make sure you could support them. Get out there to the Blakely Police Department. Pick up yourself one of those tumblers. I'm going to be there this week myself to pick up one of each. I told them to hold them aside for me. I don't want these things running out. So over the weekend, we had this story from Harrisburg. And I immediately posted that this is disgusting. And whoever this was needs to be brought to justice immediately. And I don't care what the reasoning is. I don't care who it was. Setting fire to the governor's residence in the middle of the night when his family was in there is an abhorrent, disgusting act of violence. Act of terrorism, no doubt. The timing of it being on the early morning after his Seder dinner when he had his family there, of course, had investigative importance. You know, was that a reason why this was targeted? He did publicize on social media that he was having this event at his house. Family and friends were there. His kids were there. His family was there and celebrating this. So it had to be something that needed to be looked into. Now, I've scrubbed the it turns out the individual turned themselves in. Now, that the next morning, they were setting a $10,000 reward for any information. It turned out that the individual's girlfriend called state police and told them who did it. And then the individual, Cody Balmer of Harrisburg, walked up to state police and said that he was the one that set the fire, was the arsonist at the governor's mansion, admitted to everything. He was placed in custody. So you have to think of where this guy's mindset is. And I did a deep dive into his social media. And as per his own social media, He claimed 4 years ago that he was a registered socialist and made fun that he got 27 mail-in ballots and he voted for everyone twice and vote none of the above person, casting a vote for my favorite cartoonists, is what he wrote specifically. So, you know, you could take it with a grain of salt, but him saying he's a registered socialist, you know, may have some validity, may not. He's not registered as anything. He is registered, but as non-affiliated. It also turns out that he hated both Republicans and Democrats. He has social media posts attacking Donald Trump. He has social media posts attacking Joe Biden.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It appears he was some sort of auto worker. You know, his place of business really has no bearing on what he did here. He appears to be a father of young children from at least two different women, from what I gather from social media. Here's a deranged individual. Here's an individual who somehow, and this is a highly surveilled building. You know, I spoke to someone down there who was familiar with the security setup of the governor's mansion, and it was it's not easy to get in. Scaled a 10-foot wall. Broke a window, got in, set off two incendiary devices, broke another window, and then escaped, climbed over that same wall, and fled. Now, there's different discussion of, was he seen on surveillance as a suspicious person early on, and then they lost sight of him? There is talk of that, but I don't know that for a fact. And I'm not seeing that in any official reports. I do have his official affidavit of probable cause. Prior to interviewing Balmer, the suspect, he was advised of his Miranda warning. Balmer advised that he understood his rights and agreed to speak with troopers. During the interview, he admitted to harboring hatred towards the governor, Shapiro. He advised on the date in question, he removed gasoline from a lawnmower, poured it into Heineken bottles found at his residence. Balmer advised he walked for approximately 1 hour to his residence, so that would equate to about 3 miles from the residence, from his house, to the governor's residence with the intention of throwing his homemade Molotov cocktails into the residence. Balmer admitted that once at the residence, he scaled the perimeter fence, broke two windows with a hammer, and threw the Molotov cocktails inside. Balmer also advised that prior to committing these acts, he was aware his actions would result in negative consequences. When asked if he was aware that Governor Shapiro and others were home at the time, Balmer advised that he was aware this was a possibility. He also admitted that he knew it was possible people could be injured by his actions. Balmer was asked specifically, what would he have done if Governor Shapiro found him inside the residence, to which he advised he would have beaten him with the hammer. Balmer also advised that after leaving the governor's residence, he returned to his residence where he removed his clothing worn during the commission of these acts. As a result, troopers responded to the home and seized a snap-on jacket, black bag, and a sledgehammer, which were identical to those observed in surveillance at the governor's residence. He was processed and transported to Dauphin County Prison. So he basically admitted to everything. And we've seen this escalation, and we're going to talk about this in a few other cases here today. At 4 o'clock, I'm going to have Mayor John David Longo, Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, who was at both Butler rallies. And we were discussing this case in particular, and along with that other case of this individual who killed his parents to get funds to try and assassinate Donald Trump. We've seen journalists sensationalize this CEO, healthcare CEO murderer, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. It's unacceptable, and I don't care what the cause is. And it's interesting, you'll have people playing political games saying, oh, this was a MAGA guy, no doubt. This was this person, no doubt. This, other than him declaring he was a registered socialist, he has zero Bernie Sanders pro posts. And again, he hated both Democrats and Republicans. This is just a deranged individual, allegedly lost his home to a sheriff's sale 3 months ago, and was an angry individual. And took it out because he wanted to hurt the governor for whatever reason. So you've seen a lot of people keying in that on the governor's religion. And again, at this point, there are no social media posts or confessions leading to that this was because he was Jewish or practicing the Jewish faith at all. And there's no that he's on one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. He hated both equally. He was just a deranged individual. So that's what I got from the my deep dig into this individual the past 2 days after he was identified and this incident took place. It was definitely a failure by the governor's security detail, how this individual got in, how he set off these two devices. Thankfully, they acted quickly and got the governor and his family out. I do applaud them for that, but things are going to have to be reevaluated as far as perimeter security and maybe assets they have there like canines and such. But my understanding is the surveillance system there is pretty robust, and this was just something that shouldn't happen, and it did. And now we have to do better to prevent it from happening again. We have to do better, both you and I, to prevent individuals from doing this, taking this into their own hands, getting so enraged that they literally want to kill people, and we have to get away from that. It's 3:36 here at WILK. Sorry for that, but we got the news with Paul Michaels a little late. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, both Jake and I weren't here on Friday. Jake was down in Harrisburg accepting a Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasting Award. Jake, how'd that luncheon go? I saw some great pictures.
Yeah.
Thank you for representing the show. It was great work by you getting that together.
Oh, thank you. It was such an honor in itself. It really was to be down there with Kelly to represent the show. I mean, it's still hard to put into words. It really is. The crazy thing about it was when I walked up there to get the awards, and one of the people on the stage, they reminded me, they're like, don't forget, you're accepting 3 awards. So and I'm thinking, oh, man, just don't drop them. You know, like that was the biggest thing I'm thinking, because even though they look small, I mean, they are pretty heavy. So
they do hold some weight to them. And,
oh, yeah.
And it was the picture with you holding all 3 was great. And the thing is, here's the thing that I had to ensure, you know, as my partner in this show, you are. We get one award. The station gets an award. And it just said, the world's greatest Navy host Rob O'Donnell on it. That didn't fly with me. So I ordered an additional award that said the same thing, but it also said Rob O'Donnell host, Jake Heller producer, and had that added to you. So you had an award. You mentioned
that, something
while we were talking about this, that this is one of the greatest recognitions you've had in your 13 years of doing this.
This is definitely number one as far as my career in radio and communications and broadcasting. I mean, so far it's hard to top this. It really is. So
it meant a lot to me that you were recognized properly. So I ensured that happened, and it did. And plus, you know, from the start, and a lot of people probably don't know, is, you know, when we just thought about this award, I said, I'm not going. I want you to go to accept mm-hmm. it if we're awarded this award.
Yeah. I still remember it was the first Friday of this year. And obviously, we had gotten the emails about the PAB awards and when the deadline was, if you wanted to submit anything. And
like anything else, there's usually 2 months to put in for these things. They literally gave us 4 days.
Yeah, just about. And, you know, like I talked about, I still remember you said you weren't going to be able to make it. You wanted myself and Kelly to be there. And the pressure was definitely on when, like we talked about on Thursday, 2 hours worth of material and having to condense it down into just a little under 10 minutes. I mean, I was definitely feeling the pressure, but Yeah, I mean, what a moment, what an honor when you find out that you do win, and just to be there, and the whole day itself was spectacular.
And Brian Hughes, our news director for Morning News, won an award for just
well
that.
Deserved.
And the morning show, Nancy and Jason, won duo personality duo for a radio station. So they were one. And they only give like anywhere between 3 and 5 awards per category statewide.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of people down there, right?
Oh,
both TV
sure
and radio were,
yeah,
were acknowledged.
Yeah, TV and radio were acknowledged. Obviously, there were several people that basically got Lifetime Achievement Awards if you've been doing this 40, 50 years or so. And yeah, just such an honor, and obviously so much going through my head just thinking of, I mean, how far I've come, you know, how long I've been doing this. Obviously not to that extent, but yeah, from the very beginning, I still remember January of 2023. That was the first time I ever worked with you. And
you said, I'm stuck with this guy? Jesus.
But lo and behold, I mean, the show started the very end of the month. And, you know, I've talked about, I've done this 13 years, had great opportunities working with L.A. Tyrone, working with Frank Andrews. And then, you know, obviously, sadly, we lost L.A. in 2017. And then Frank retired in 2022. And that time frame, I was going to say, that time frame between when Frank retired and when they hired you, it was tough. I'm not going to lie. And just being able to work with you, the person you are, the things that you've done, the things that you've gone through, it's such an honor, man. It's so, you know, I'm having a blast doing this show. I really, really am, and it's such an honor in itself. And,
well, that makes the whole thing worthwhile. So right there, that's it. You know, that's you know, I'm going to do this as long as it's still fun to do. Once it's not, well, then we'll see.
Oh, it's plenty of fun. That's for sure.
we'll make it so. If not, we'll create our own fun. Well, I appreciate you going down there with great pictures. And I saw that it was posted on the WILK social media everywhere, pictures of you guys. So great event, great turnout. Let's do it again this year. Let's see.
Got that right.
It's 3:46 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Just got a couple seconds before we have the Bloomberg Money Minute coming up, but our Geisinger nurses at Luzerne County facilities have approved a new union deal. Good for them. I'm glad this is behind them, behind us, behind the area as far as medical needs goes, and it took way too long. I just, you know, I've explained why I think things happen here more and more. I think Geisinger needs to spend 3 or 4 times they do on their in-house nurse just to say they spent the money. And I think institute these strike conditions on their own, because why would anyone in their right mind pay 4 to 5 times as much money on travel nurses to cover for a strike than just to pay your nurses a living wage? I don't get it, but it's good. It's over with, and I hope they're happy. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone now. We have Elle from Wayne County on Shapiro. Elle.
Hi. Earlier, around 12 o'clock, I was listening to CBN, Christian Brotherhood Casting Network, and they were saying that the mother of that guy that did all this damage, he was mentally ill, and she contacted the police and told them that he was off his meds and she couldn't get any help from them. So then this happened. So I hadn't heard that on any of the other stations, but I was just curious. I know the mansion was supposed to have been renovated, and we didn't hear that actually that work had been completed or started or whatever. So do you know anything about the renovation of the mansion?
I do
not. Has it ever happened?
I do not. I do know that there's several pictures of this individual with firearms on his social media. So if he had some sort of mental condition that his mother was aware of, there might be more to that story if that was the case. Or is that just an excuse now?
Well, all I know is prior to this all happening, she had contacted the police. It didn't say anything about a girlfriend or fiance. It said the mother had contacted the police, and she told them that he had gone off his meds, and she didn't get any help from them. And I thought, wow. I wonder how when that happened. Like how close to this situation that happened.
It's definitely plausible. I mean, there's definitely something wrong with this individual as far as violence go. It appears that he was a certified mechanic and was working as a mechanic, but definitely didn't like either Democrats or Republicans, had something against Josh Shapiro, had his home sold in a sheriff's sale a couple months ago. So there's definitely some problems there. You know, if she did, there will be record of this, and that will eventually come out. But I've seen that nowhere reported yet.
Yeah, yeah. So
we'll keep an eye on it for it, though. It's good information to have to see if it's out there. But like I said, when I was going through his social media, and I was back all the way into like 2012, there were some pictures of him with a firearms in several of them. So if he did have a known mental condition, then they were pretty negligent in not stepping in at that point, because this was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, but the thing is, if they have the guns, and then something happens, they don't always take the ammunition and the guns away from the mentally ill person. I know that through experience. And I don't think once they have any kind of a problem in the courts that they should ever retain their guns and ammo again. But they do.
Well, it depends what the outcome of the court case is and such like that, once due process takes its place. I do know, because I did look at his arrest record, there were a couple arrests for this individual, some of them for forgery. I don't know if they were felonies. Maybe he didn't have the right to have a firearm after he was charged with a felony. It may be a case. I'm just going by pictures that he had on his social media.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Elle.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. And if you find anything about the mansion being completed and renovating, because I know that was supposedly one of the reasons why he was going to drive cross country in that Winnebago or that bus that they had converted for him to do that. And so I was curious. We heard he was supposed to have that mansion renewed, renovated, but we never heard it actually happened.
Yeah, I don't know either way. And it was in none of the news reports as far as it was on a renovation or expecting renovation. So I don't know if it took place or not.
And that room that was burnt, they showed before and after, and it looked beautiful. So I thought to myself, I wonder if it had been redone.
Well, most of these governor mansions are pretty upscale. So we'll see. I appreciate the call, Al.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Real quick, I saw that provisional ballots in Pennsylvania between 2016 and 2024, the percentage of provisional ballots rejected due to technical errors increased from less than 1% to almost 5%. And that's a large increase. And a lot of it was the workers' errors, telling voters to do the wrong thing, telling them to do something that actually violated and voided their vote. And it took people were eventually notified that their vote was voided, that they did not count in the last election, and they contacted and they were told why, contacted their county election office, and they said, well, that's what your worker told us to do. And part of the reason they're admitting to this is the lack of standardized training across the counties. Each county does their own training. But a less than 1%, 0.95% to 4.92% of provisional ballots, so almost 5% of provisional ballots are rejected due to technical errors. And that increase is something that they need to look at. And standardized training is one of the solutions brought up by them themselves, saying that each county does their own thing. And a lot of times that does not transfer to proper training, and employees just don't know the answer. And in some case, the employee didn't know. They asked the election judge there that they didn't know, and the person's voter's vote didn't count. They drove 3 hours from school because their mail-in ballot was screwed up to provisional vote, and it wasn't counted. So it's something we definitely have to look into, but these provisional ballots are increasing in technical errors and being voided. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.